So today we just wanted to talk about the second part of our series called New Things. And my heart with this series is just in talking about the idea that with all this new stuff that's going on in our lives, that we're running the risk of becoming so focused on the things we're doing and so focused on just trying to kind of get back to what we used to be, that we might miss some new things that God is doing. And so I just wanted to talk about how we can get into that spirit of new things over the next couple weeks. And so I wanted to start off with a little bit of a story. And I remember when I was young, we went to, me and my class, we went skiing. It wasn't snowboarding. I don't know how to snowboard, and I'd love to learn. But we went skiing, and I was living in London, and we had this this ski mountain called Boulder Mountain, and my whole class went skiing. And you know, when you're young and you're a teenage boy to boot, you have a lot of bravery, and you might not have a lot of foresight, but you have a lot of bravery. And so I decided I wanted to try this really challenging hill. And at least at the time, I don't know if things have changed, they rated the hills based on colors and shapes. And so this was a really difficult one. I want to say it was a black diamond. Don't quote me on that. That might be really simple and I'm just young and dumb. But it felt hard for me. And it was a pretty downhill, straight, with a little bit of a curve at the end. But if you didn't know what you were doing, you could really pick up some speed. And I decided, you know what, I'm good enough, I'm going to try that one. And I get up to the top of the hill, and they teach you with skiing, that if you're going down and you want to reduce your speed, you kind of slalom a little bit. You go side to side, try and slide as you go, bring your speed down. But I'm like, no, I can manage this. And so I'm just firing it down the hill. And I get to the bottom, and they even got this really helpful bright orange sign at the bottom that says, slow down. And the sign was like a mesh sign. And I think it was held in place with two ski poles, which was good because it had just enough give so that when I just like railed right into it, I took it right out of the ground. I ended up falling over. I got wrapped up in the whole thing, hit the ground. And then the worst part was I'd fallen in such a way that the safety releases on my skis didn't let go. So my skis were still on my boots, but I was down and I'd actually fallen on top of my skis. So my legs were kind of out sideways, and the skis were sticking under my body. But then I had my poles on the wrist straps, and the poles had kind of gone up and also got stuck under my body. And so it was just enough that, like, I couldn't pull my hands out. I couldn't pull my feet out. And I was stuck in kind of like this X shape on the ground, completely helpless. I couldn't move. I was wriggling, trying to get myself out. I think some people were worried that I'd really hurt myself. But I just trapped myself. And so some people came running and they managed to get me out of it. And I was super embarrassed. But I'd gotten myself into this place where I just couldn't get out without somebody saving me from it. I don't know how I managed it. And I'm pretty sure if I would have just kicked my foot the right way that the ski would have released and I would have been fine. But I didn't know. So I got trapped like this. And it was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life at that point. And I think as a kid, we all bring forward this concept that if I just got like this one thing that I want, that my life will become good, that it'll become manageable. And I remember when I was a kid, it was independence, especially when you're living under your parents and your parents have any kind of rules at all, or your guardians have any kind of rules at all. You're starting to think, you know what, I wish I just had independence. If I could just make my own choices, that my life would be manageable. My life would be good. And then as you become a young adult and you start having to make your own choices, like where am I going to get my money for food and how much money am I going to try and save? You start thinking, you know what? Independence was good, but it didn't really rescue me. But just having enough money might rescue me. And that was my concern as a young adult. It's like, you know, if I just had enough free income, if I just had enough finances, or I had a good enough job that made enough that I didn't have to worry, that I'd feel like I was being rescued from all of my problems. And the question I want us to start off asking here is this, is what is it that you are looking for to rescue you? And I think we all have this kind of concept that we're all kind of not waiting necessarily, but hoping that something's going to come and rescue us from a problem. That maybe you're having financial issues and you're waiting for that financial freedom. Or you're having relationship issues and you're just waiting for that calm after the storm for you to be able to feel safe and for you to be able to feel rescued. And I don't want to minimize any of these experiences, but I want to talk about this new thing that I think that God is doing in the world, and that he's building in us this new kind of hope. But it's not like a brand new hope, because he put it in his word from the very beginning. But I believe that through a time such as this, where normally we all have our needs, but now it feels like our needs are just being amped up to like 11. And now that we're all in this place where we're waiting for someone or something to rescue us, that God has something really important to say about that process. And so today we're going to be reading from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 7. We're going to have it on the screen there. And it says this. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I missed the slide there, but that's okay. I was reading it anyways. And so we've talked about this verse before, but I want to go through it and I want to highlight this whole concept of what hope means through this verse. And I think this is a really packed verse and there's a lot you can get out of it, but I want to highlight this concept of hope and the narrative that goes through it. And so there's a few things that God has to say through this section about hope. And so the first one is this, which is a source of hope. And that is that God's hope is built on him rescuing us from death itself. And it's not from God doing all the things that we ask him to do. And the reason I'm making this distinction is this. With our hope found in the resurrection, with our hope found in this idea that Jesus came to earth and he lived the perfect life, and then when he died, that his death paid our ransom, and that his resurrection from the dead brings us new life. When we find our hope in that, rather than the response we have from the life that we live here, our hope has already arrived. We already have a great reason to hope. And maybe you're looking at a lot of circumstances in your life going, how can I have hope in this? How can I have hope in these things? When I was going through college and I was having lots of financial troubles, I was sitting back going, how can I have hope in my finances? How can I trust in these things to be able to rescue me when they're so unstable and they're unresolved? And so many of our hopes, maybe they get realized, but then over time, they either break down or we move on to needing something else. And so we already, through the resurrection, have an amazing reason to hope because God has already beaten death. And so it's sort of like hoping that your team is going to win the game, but it's a game that aired 5 years ago and you already know that they win. It's not even hope at that point, it's confidence. And so God is calling us into this confident hope placed in the resurrection, knowing that it's something that's already happened, he's already beat that problem, that we know the end of the story, and that no matter what happens in this world, that God has already rescued us in the next one. That when we die, if we follow him and we have faith in him and we believe in him, that we have this great resurrection and this great eternity looking forward to us later. And this kind of ties into my next idea, which is that God's hope leads us into a life that can never die, break, or even diminish. And so not only do we have a hope that we can already embrace. We have a hope that we can already hold on to and say, the thing I hope for has already been given to me and it's been done. We have a hope that nothing in this life can ever touch. It's something that can't be killed because it conquered death already. It's something that can't be spoiled because it's a living hope. It's alive. And it's something that can't fade because it's sustained by God's great power for eternity. I'm a big food person, and I tend to snack a lot, and I tend to whenever I'm walking through the kitchen, I open up the fridge and I grab something out and I eat it. And my wife is slowly going, where's all the stuff that I bought? I don't know. But one thing that always bothered me is when I know we're holding on to a piece of food for like a meal or something, but I'm slowly watching it spoil and get worse and get worse. And I'm like, I could have eaten that whole thing. We're not making it for a meal. Why can't I just eat it now? And this eternal hope that God has for us, it's something that will never spoil. It's something that can never die. It's something that can never disappoint because it's sustained by God's great power. And God demonstrated through Jesus that he has power even over death. He has power even over destruction in the grave. And so no matter what happens on earth, the ending to our stories have already been secured. And nothing here can break God's power. Nothing can ever take away from us the gifts that God wants to give us. But we still need to make it there. We still need to arrive at our destination. One day I was driving around some teenagers and I'd gone to this youth convention in Kitchener-Waterloo. And normally I had a bus driver who was driving us around. They were driving a van, but still bus drivers know how to get everywhere. And she was normally our navigation. And so she got us everywhere. But I wanted to give her a little bit of a break and I didn't know the area well. So I was trying to drive from a mall to the convention center. And so I turn on my GPS and it's leading me in these crazy ways. Eventually it tells me to turn into a field, it felt like. So I thought maybe it just thought I was in a wrong place, or maybe just Kitchener-Waterloo is the most confusing town on earth if you've ever been there. And so eventually I'm driving around and it leads me to this parking lot. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm driving through the parking lot. Maybe we're a lot closer to the place than I thought. And it takes us to this little road at the back of the parking lot. And I'm feeling weird about this, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust the GPS and go. And as I'm driving, there's people that are like walking down this path and getting out of our way as we have a van full of teenagers going down the road. And eventually it leads me to a train track and tells me to just hook it straight down the train track. And that's when I said, no, I'm done with this. And I discovered that I had had my GPS on bike mode and it was taking me through bike paths. And I'd actually driven a large van full of teenagers down a bike path and people were giving me all these funny looks. And I'm the kind of person that if my GPS tells me to drive into a lake, I'm going to give it some pretty serious thought driving into that lake. And the truth is that with everything in life, we need to make sure that we arrive at the destination. And God has this amazing destination for us, but we need to make sure we get there. And the fact is that God hasn't left us alone in this either. And this journey of hope. So we talked about the source of hope. We talked about the destination of hope. And now the journey of hope that God has for us, that he also has something to say about it through this verse. And that is that God's path to hope is him guiding us through our suffering and trials. And God's plan here isn't to remove us from all the suffering, at least not right now. He'll do that later. That when we have this resurrection, when we have this living hope and this eternal life that he's talked about, that's the point where he removes all suffering, he removes all pain and all discomfort, and everything is just perfect right then. He'll do that later when we get to heaven with him and we have no more suffering. But God's plan for us right now is to use his great power to guide us and sustain us through our suffering. It's that same power that keeps our eternity safe for us, guides us every step of the way to make sure that we make it there. And so we see this three-part activity from God regarding hope. The first is that he bases hope on this new life that we have in Christ, rather than on anything that happens in the world, but that this way that he's beaten the ultimate problem of death, and he's built this eternal, amazing place for us. And he says, this is the foundation that you build your hope on, because I've already done it. But then he steers hope towards this eternity that is perfect and can never be broken, and that he takes us there through whatever trials we can face by using his power to keep us going. Every step of this is from him and to him and by him. And so we don't have any more excuses. That hope as a Christ follower, hope as a person who says that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, has nothing to do with anything in this life. It is all in God's power and the things that he's bringing us towards. And so how should we respond to this? What's our next step? And so it's this last idea, and that the fruit of God's hope brings praise to Jesus. And so this is the end result of God's hope. This is what this whole three-step process that God is leading us through, this is what it results in. When we can look at our lives and we can look at whatever we may face or whatever we're going through, and we can say that God is so good. And they say that being a Christian is just about ignoring life. It's about looking at all the bad stuff around you and going, yeah, whatever, whatever, God's awesome, this is terrible. And just pretending like none of the stuff around is actually happening. Just closing your ears and saying, la, 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 I'm not hearing this. But the truth is that the real power of the Christian life is an understanding that no matter what happens here, we have everything waiting for us later. And that after a million years of perfection, we're going to look at all the stuff now and go, that just wasn't very much. And even the greatest victory we can have in the world, in our flesh, is nothing compared to the eternity of glory that we face with God. And so we know how the story finishes. We know that we have this eternity waiting for us. We know that we'll face no more fear, no more pain, no more suffering. And when that truth takes hold in you, when you really embrace it, it changes you. It changes the way you see things. It's like a light being turned on, that you can't just stumble around pretending like it's dark, that you can see everything new now. And this is the product of God's hope, is that it builds in us such praise towards Jesus. It creates in us such a desire to say, God, you have done such amazing things. So what are we supposed to do with this information? And I always say you can learn something by looking at a problem from another angle. I'm a techie. I'm a gadget person. And one of the best gifts my wife's ever given me was a tablet. And I was actually, the time when she bought me the tablet, I was sitting back and waffling going, I don't know if I want a tablet or I'd rather just save up and get a laptop. But the perspective that was going on in my mind was that a tablet was bigger than a phone and it wasn't as powerful as a laptop. But somebody phrased it to me and they said, no, you have it backwards. A tablet is more powerful than a phone and it's a lot lighter and more portable than a laptop. And when I realized that, I've been able to do such amazing things with my laptop, or with my tablet rather, and bringing it to conferences and taking notes all the live long day, and people are watching me going, that's a really good thing you got there. And when we reorient our perspective and we look at something from a different angle, we can learn things from it. And so what are we supposed to do with this information? What are we supposed to do with this idea that God is building us towards a future hope and an eternal hope? What is he doing with us right now through this? Well, the first thing I'd say is use this time right now, that if you're following God, but you're struggling with hope, you're struggling with this idea of how can I have joy and hope and a positive outlook through everything that's going on right now? So use this time right now, rather than missing the structure that we used to, Ask God to teach you how to place your hope and your trust in His end game, His plan for you. The Bible says that our heart will be with the thing that we treasure most. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we can ask God to help us treasure eternity. We can ask God to help us treasure His new life from the dead for us more than anything else that we have in this world, more than our comfort, our security, more than the clothes on our back and the food in our fridge. And we can ask God to bring us to that point of such great hope in the plans that God has for us. And the biblical writers are all about this. All the disciples, all the apostles, the people who wrote a lot of the New Testament, they lived in this hope. They lived in those circumstances where lots of things were taken from them. Lots of things were put in a place where they just were missing so much, where they were going through suffering and trials, but yet they're still saying, you know, praise God. God is so good, because they see the end game. So ask God to show you that hope in the end game. And maybe you haven't decided to have a relationship with God. Maybe this is something new, and maybe you're sitting in that place where you feel like you really need that kind of hope. Well, this is a great foundational place to start. It's this understanding that no matter what happens in life, that there's a God who's leading you towards a great thing and who's powering you through it so that you can make it there. Understanding that God can and will rescue us from everything, and that He has a place for us that is eternally wonderful and amazing, and that we can find great peace and great joy even in the chaos by holding on to that tightly, by holding on to that relationship and just saying, you know what, today is a day that I'm going to get to know You, God, better. Today is a day where I'm going to learn more about You. And in doing that every day, that we can have more peace and more joy. The Bible says that if we trust in Jesus and we follow His commands, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that comes even when we don't understand how it works or where it's coming from, will guard our hearts and it will guard our minds in Jesus. And so if that's something that you need, that's a decision you can make just right now. God, I want to get to know You. I want to step into that life and into that plan and into that eternity that You have for me. And if that's a decision you want to make, please send me an email. My email is john@parklandchurch.ca, or if you have me on Messenger, or drop a comment on one of our Facebook posts, anything. We'd love to be able to connect with you to give you more resources to continue in this amazing walk that you've committed to do. Now, imagine what a life would look like that really held on to this belief. Imagine what your life could look like if you were just based in this idea of hope beyond the grave as your foundational piece. That we can have the kind of life where suffering or trials can't budge us. That we're still going through them, but we're held up by a power that's much greater than ourselves. There's a spot in the Bible where Jesus says, if someone strikes you on one side of your face, turn to them the other side. If someone steals your shirt, give them your cloak too. And I've heard a lot of pastors really wrestling with this, saying, you know, is Jesus saying, if somebody takes advantage of you, give them even more? And what I truly believe about this is that, especially when Jesus is saying, if they hit you on one side, turn them the other side, that He's saying that you can have such an unshakable life that someone can hit you but not hurt you. And so we can have the kind of life where suffering or trials can't budge us. We can have the kind of life that sees joy even in hard times, even when nothing in our life adds up to this place where we should have this much joy. Because we know that these hard times teach us to appreciate and praise God more, knowing even greater things are coming for us. And that's the most valuable thing for us. And most of all, we can have the kind of life that doesn't stop when we die. That it keeps going forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your great hope, God, that You've conquered the grave. Help us to realize how big of a deal that is. Help us to realize that that is the biggest thing that could ever happen in any of our lives, God. Help us to realize that life beyond death is the biggest problem that we've ever faced, and it's the strongest thing that you've ever done. And so we thank you for that. We just pray that you'd help us to praise you and praise you and praise you for that, that to the end of our days, even if we see nothing else ever from you, that we've seen enough to get us through every day. But we know that you don't just leave us there, that you bring with us every step of the way, every step of the journey. And so we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us so much and you care about us so much that you're willing to walk with us every single day. And so I just pray for the people out there who know you, but they've lost that feeling of hope because they've lost the things around them that give them hope. Help them to realize how much more powerful you are than our structures. Help us to realize how much greater you are than our buildings, God. And that if you are the only thing we have left, we have above and beyond more than we ever could possibly need. And I just pray for the people out there who are in desperate need of that hope, that you just come into their house, God, come into their living rooms and just meet them in a real way right where they are and let them know that you're there and you love them so much. God, we just pray that you'd help those people to reach out, to make a connection with us so that we can walk with them in this new journey that you have for them. In your name we pray. Amen.